Good morning. Just had to take another swallow of my coffee so I could get through the morning. Welcome to the Mark Kreslin Show here on the Veritas Radio Network, the Crusade Channel. That's right. We hope to be at some point one of many channels being offered to you, your listening audience, here on the Veritas Radio Network. It's Friday. It's June 3rd. And the week is almost over. How about that? It's been a kind of a weird week, hasn't it? Short one, but feeling long in some ways. So I'm glad you joined us here. We're live Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Central Time. As a live call-in program, you can call anytime you'd like at area code 844-527-8723. That's 844-5-CRUSADE. I'm glad you are here with us this morning. We have a ton to cover. And I am reasonably sure that I will not get to most of it. And I'm sad about that because there is a lot out there going on. It may not show up on the average conservative mainstream talk radio show's radar because they're fully entrenched in getting, we've got to stop Hillary at all costs. And we're seeing endorsement after endorsement from people who viscerally hated Donald Trump beginning to now say, well, anything to stop Hillary. Well, what if Trump is worse than Hillary? People don't know anything about this guy. Now, I happen to think there's some signs that from my side of the equation, as you know, I have a litmus test for most presidential candidates. I rate them on whether or not if the state of Oklahoma decided to secede by some miracle, would that presidential candidate be more likely to murder the people in Oklahoma, or would they be less likely to murder the people of Oklahoma that wanted to secede in line with the great president, Abraham Lincoln? So of the current presidential candidates, well, now Gary Johnson and this guy David French and Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, which of those candidates would be most likely to murder citizens in the state of Oklahoma should the state of Oklahoma decide to secede from the Union? Well, when you apply that litmus test to these candidates, Trump appears to come out on top, that he's not likely to shoot and murder me, my wife, my kids, and other citizens of Oklahoma if we chose to leave the Union. Now, I don't know about Gary Johnson very much, so I can't. He may fit in that category, too. He may not. He may be one of those guys that will not order the murder of my family if we chose to leave the Union. But you never know. I got to look into him a little more, but I don't think he really has a chance. But of the top candidates, Hillary, Bernie, and you have to put Hillary and Bernie together at this point. Isn't this just fun? This is the weirdest election cycle I've ever seen. You got Trump, number one, that makes it weird. And now you've got a socialist, probably in his mind a communist, who is challenging the establishment Democrat. Hillary has got to be pulling the hair out of her head. She has got to be saying, how can this happen to me again? I got knocked off by a rookie senator from Illinois, and I'm about to get knocked off by a socialist communist. So what a strange election year and wildly entertaining. I mean, watching Trump call, what's her name up there in the Northeast? Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, watching him. I have enjoyed the fact that he's taken after the mainstream media. I think that's a blast. I mean, those guys are not going to know how to handle this guy. They're going to walk on eggshells around him. They don't want to get named, I suspect. They tend to have pretty corrupt, thick skin there in the Washington media establishment. But boy, when you start naming names like Trump does and assigning descriptors to that person like Pocahontas for Elizabeth Warren, you probably don't want to get in his crosshairs. So it's just bizarre, you know. And I guess in a sense, mainstream conservative talk radio, you know, has more to talk about there on that front because it is a bizarrely entertaining election cycle this year. But that's not what we talk about here in this show. No, 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 no. As you all know, those of you who listen regularly and those of you who are tuning in for the first time, we talk about real solutions to the mess we face versus the sophomoric solutions that are offered by conservative mainstream talk radio and status quo thinking out of Washington, D.C. Why would I spend any time talking about those other than giving some observations about the silliness of it? Because there's no answer in that, in the national election circus. And by the way, Richard, I will not be playing your Twitter song that you sent to me this morning on this radio show. We will, at the worst we'll ever get is Seal, but with the Bee Gees will not be here on this show. But good try. I appreciate the offering, but I will stick with classic rock, country music. And, but anyways, that's just an ongoing battle with some of those in the Mike Church show who insist on playing the Bee Gees and believe they are probably one of the top vocal bands of all time. I don't share that agreement, but nevertheless, we will not be sneaking those songs onto the show. Instead, we will play some classic rock. Like, you know, let's listen to one right now. Let's see. Let me see if we can find some real quick here. I got a good one here. Yeah, here we go. We're going to play stuff like this. We'll play stuff like this. It's getting to guys, the Twitter world are pretty funny this morning. Come on, though, isn't this better?
I am sorry.
Roger Stone's Ashley Young.
Sometimes it hurts so badly I must cry out loud.
I am lonely.
How about this? Now we're talking. VCR. To play this a while back.
Sitting on the park bench, I live.
Come on now, you know this is better than the Bee Gees. Who can ignore this classic? There is no better than this. I said it, Suzanne. Oh, here's one. Well, you're probably not going to like this one, but it's a pretty good song. This comes right out of Woodstock and the hippies back then, Melanie. During the anti-Vietnam War protest, lay down them guns and let the white bird fly up.
We were so close, there was no.
If you're over 50, you remember this song. Church, you remember this song too. You just don't want to admit it. War is a disease. Nobody had it right back then. Now who can forget this one? I'm just going through my playlist here. Angie, remember that?
Angel, Angel,
Classic. Steely Dan. I could so easily turn this show into a music show. Just playing through my playlist. You know, as soon as you heard those opening notes, you knew what this song was. It's iconic. As soon as you hear this, you're going to know exactly what the song is. Steppenwolf, huh? Well, see, now tell me that is not better than the Bee Gees. That's just a small taste of classic rock and other songs that are mixed in there that I'm not even sure how I got on the topic of the Bee Gees, but somehow, I know, because Richard sent me a tweet that he suggested we play something along the lines of, let me see what he wanted to play. Hold on a second. He sent this morning. Let me find it. I'm still learning the whole Twitter thing here, so give me one second. Well, it was some Bee Gees song. I can't find it here. Oh, here we go. This is what he wanted to play. All right. Now tell me which is better. Well, let me figure out how to make this thing work. That? Or this? That or this?
Why don't you come with me, little girl, on a magic carpet ride?
Not even close. All right, well, let's get on to real topics here. Just thought I'd have some fun here. I got the folks on Twitter engaging. All right, I'm with you on Johnny Cash. I'll find some Johnny Cash and play it. Okay. All right, well, listen, we got a ton to cover here. I got to stop goofing around here, or I won't get my job done here, which is to communicate versus status quo solutions out there. And, you know, I earlier in the week, I thought maybe we would change the show to a travel show and begin to talk about how to avoid the dreaded middle seat on most U.S. airlines. We all hate it. I thought maybe we would spend time every day talking about how to avoid long lines at Olive Garden, how to get best seats at the first run movies that come out at Regal Cinema. Perhaps the top five reasons to own a BMW, the top 10 reasons why to own a second house, the top vacations places in Europe as you're planning your vacation, because it appears that's what most people want to talk about. Now, they want to throw in every now and then, we hate Hillary or we hate Trump. But mostly people just want to talk about the Olive Garden and not you in the listening audience. But I thought maybe if I turned the show into a travel show, maybe we would increase the listenership. Probably, we probably would overnight. especially if I gave really hot tips how to avoid the dreaded middle seat on Southwest Airlines. And I do have a little trick that I play there so that when I fly Southwest, I don't get stuck in the middle seat. And so I thought, you know, perhaps if we change the format and get away from, you know, discussions about real solutions versus sophomoric solutions, really talk about the concept of unalienable rights, what they are, expose the reality that we're all just serfs and we act like it. I thought if we got away from that silly talk and went over to like a travel show kind of format, that perhaps we would spike our listenership immediately. We would probably become the number one or two rated travel show on the air. And we would spend days talking about these really important pressing issues, like avoiding that middle seat. We don't want to ever have to sit in between two people, right? Nobody likes to do it. But then as I thought about it and I got emails from you folks, I thought, you know what, maybe it is just better to stick with these topics here. Maybe it's better to just focus on real solutions with the hopes that people really do want to change and they don't want to just talk about change. They actually want to change. And so I think as an addition to that concept, I'm going to start focusing most of my articles, most of my communication about reasons why secession is the only way to go. I've got, just in 24 hours, I have printed out 5 articles that give further evidence of why people in this listening audience and those who join this listening audience must consider getting away from these people. And again, I have couched this in personal experience. As I have described a number of times in the show, my sister was an abused spouse. She was beat up as a woman, as my sister, from her abusive husband. And no matter, you know, how much we begged and pleaded with her to please leave, it wasn't until she decided she had had enough that she pulled the trigger and got, well, I shouldn't use that word, that's not what happened, that she decided to get out. Now, we helped her as her family. We helped her extricate herself from that horrible situation. But it wasn't until Christy decided to get away from her abuser was she actually going to get away from her abuser. We could not make her leave. We tried, believe me. Try being a brother or a mother or a father to a daughter or a sister who's getting beat up by her husband. It ain't fun. But no matter how much we cajoled, persuaded, begged, pleaded, whatever, she wasn't going to leave until she made up her mind to leave and get away from her abuser. And so what do I attempt to do here Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Central Time? I attempt to persuade more and more people to understand that they're being abused and that the only way to deal with it, just as Christy could not stop her abuser. He was physically more powerful. He psychologically knew how to manipulate her. He had all the tools in his chest, and he deployed them regularly with threats, with propaganda to force her, to persuade her to stay in an abusive marriage. She did not have the physical strength to get away from him, but she did have the family behind her, and she finally got to that point, and we got her out of there. Well, it's a very strong parallel to where we are today. Just as Christy had to understand she was being abused, so do we need to understand we're being abused. And then that has to take us to the point where we decide to leave our abuser. And don't think you are not being abused by this bipartisan, corrupt, morally bankrupt, illegitimate government run by a bunch of megalomaniac, sycophant, you know, narcissists who like controlling you. Don't think you're not being controlled. You are. I've got a whole stack of articles. Here's one title. IRS returns Baker's money after 3 years. Civil asset forfeiture. Yesterday, apparently, the Massachusetts House overwhelmingly passed a bill to abolish biological sex. How the FAA shot down Uber for planes. So there was going to be an attempt to connect you, to improve your life by connecting you to private pilots that are going somewhere and catch a ride with them. How the FAA shot that idea down. Americans who opt out of Medicare must forfeit their Social Security benefits. Yesterday, I spent a good amount of time talking about how all the money you were forced to pay into Social Security, you're going to lose it if you decide to opt out of Medicare. But it's worse than that. If me and Patty died today in a tragic car accident, none of our kids would get any of the money we paid into it. That just stays in the Social Security fund. Is that not abuse? You get forced your whole life under penalty of law to contribute to this wonderful Social Security Ponzi scheme. And then if me and Patty drive off a bridge this afternoon, none of my four children get the hundreds of thousands of dollars that were forced to be confiscated from my paycheck via employer contribution and my contribution. Is that the kind of government we want to be involved, you want to be associated with? Why would you even want to be associated with an abuser like that? You know, people don't know this, but the House, the congressional committees and debates were not televised for quite some time when the capacity to televise them was there. Do you know why that the House and the Senate did not want their chambers televised? Because you wouldn't know what they're doing. Little bit of information you didn't know, did you? Let me read something here real quick. I meant to get to this about 2 weeks ago, and I just didn't get to it. This is from this is actually from the U.S. House of Representatives History and Art Archives. Nearly a half a century elapsed from the invention of television to the broadcasting of House floor proceedings. During the 1920s and 1930s, technological innovations allowed the transmission of images via radio waves. Television receivers were first sold to the public in 1939. Though regular program did not begin for another decade, the first live broadcast coverage of congressional proceedings occurred in 1947, when cameras were allowed into the House chamber to telecast the opening of the 80th Congress. It wasn't until March of 1977, look at that, 30 years after the first broadcast of the opening, that's all the frauds standing up in their chamber, putting their right hands up in the air and their left hands on the Bible, claiming they will support, defend, and uphold the Constitution, so help me God. That's what you got to see in 1947, a broadcast of the opening. Then they shut the TV off. Let's get to work. It wasn't until 1977 did they actually decide to begin routine broadcasting of congressional proceedings. And then on March 19, 1979, C-SPAN began taping and broadcasting floor proceedings. Why do you think that the technology was developed in the, let's say, the 1940s to get congressional hearings into everybody's home so everybody could see what those great vaunted leaders that we elect every 2 and 4 years were doing? Why do you think they didn't want that in there? Just fathom and venture a guess. Call me at 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. Why did it take 30 years after the regular broadcasting of TV into your home? Why did it take the Congress to decide 30 years later, and under pressure, believe me, they were forced to do this. They did not want to do this. Under pressure to open up the House chambers for all to see. Well, where does evil like to do its work? In darkness where nobody can see them, right? All those votes, all those discussions, all those debates that were had where you couldn't see them, they didn't want you to see them. Why? Because they were toiling away in Congress, only accountable to the press that decided to show up for a hearing or decided to show up for some House proceeding on the floor or Senate proceeding. They knew you weren't going to go. You were too busy. You were too busy doing what you're supposed to do. Love your wife. Love your husband. Take care of your family. Work. serve in your community, go to church. You were busy doing that. They knew you weren't going to go to Washington and watch what they were doing. Why didn't they want any accountability? Because they didn't want people to see what they're doing. Now life is just a little bit harder, not a lot harder, but it's just a little bit harder because people can actually tune in and watch what they're doing. Watch the stupid laws they're passing. The abdication of their lawmaking authority in Article 1 of the Constitution to federal agencies so they can harass you. They still kind of know you're not going to tune in because there's nothing exciting about lawmaking, but there's something very powerful about lawmaking, i.e. it controls you. So there's all these reasons out there why we should focus on secession. I agree, Gregory. C-SPAN should be the most watched channel on television. But they count on us being too busy. They count on us not being able to pay attention to them. It's one of the reasons in my universe, if I was able to wave a magic wand and recreate a government, there is no way there would be a legislature ever again. That has been a disaster. Why? What is one of the phrases we use or descriptors we use to describe who congressmen are? We call them lawmakers, right? Well, they run for office. They run for elected office because they like to make laws. Well, do we really need more? Have we not had our fill yet? What do we expect these guys to do when they stand up and say, hey, vote for me. I want to be a lawmaker. Oh, that's a great idea. Let's just send some megalomaniacs to Washington, D.C., give them the title lawmaker, and then let's all sit back on Easy Street and see what happens. Well, this is what happens. You got a baker who through civil asset forfeiture, had $68,000 taken from him. He just got it back, and now he's in the IRS's crosshairs. Well, who created the IRS? The lawmaker. The great lawmaker. These agencies that harass the people of this union did not just pop into existence accidentally. People did not go to bed on May 1st, 1978, and then wake up May 2nd, and suddenly the Department of Education was there, or whatever agency that's harassing people now. They were created by those wonderful lawmakers. Where do you think all these powers to surveil you came from? They didn't just appear. They came from the lawmakers, those wonderful lawmakers that make laws. Now, I'm open to other ways to create laws that govern a small republic, because there's no such thing as a 320 million person republic. But I can assure you one thing, I would argue vociferously against ever creating a legislature again. I think it's been an utter disaster. Call me with your ideas. Or are we just stuck because we can't think creatively? We can't figure out another way to do this. This is the problem with the nearly divine constitution. When you believe that this thing came from God through those evangelical warriors in the Philadelphia Convention from May 1787 through September 1787, well, you get locked into thinking, well, this is the only way it can be done. God, after all, God created this Constitution. Kreslins, will you get biblical again, please? Now, I know there's nothing in the Bible that says this, but we're going to say it's biblical because it feels good to us to say that God created the Constitution. Will you get with it? Will you just reexamine your faith in Christ? Because if you don't buy into the American idea that God created the Constitution, well, then you just don't know your Bible. Now, of course, I can't point to anywhere in the Bible where it says that, but that's not the point. We live in experiential Christianity today. We feel like God created the Constitution, so therefore he must have. Now, I know there's nothing in the Bible that says that, but that's not the point, Kreslins. Will you get with the 21st century experiential Christianity? We want to feel good about this.
And dagnabbit, if we feel like God created the Constitution through those evangelical warriors in the Philadelphia Convention during May 1787 through September of 1787, then by golly, we're going to believe that. You're not talking us out of this, Kreslins. You can ask us to read the Bible all you want and point to that place in the Bible where it says that God actually did this. We're not listening to you anymore. We are into experiential, felt Christianity, and we feel like that's what happened there. So if God created this Constitution, Kreslins, if you just get with modern 21st century experiential Christianity, if you just get with that and join the club over here, then we can go out there and start talking about a Christian nation and how we have to take back America and how the Constitution was divinely created and all we need to do is get back to it. Kreslins, then you can get on to your real solutions. And if God created this Constitution, Kreslins, if you just accept the fact that he did, because we feel he did, then there has to be a law-making body because God created it. So, Kreslins, you getting on your stupid radio show and talking about not having a law-making body, Kreslins, in 21st century experiential Christianity, that's sin, brother. You are sinning. To say that we should not have a law-making body, a legislature, when God clearly, we know he didn't do it biblically, but we feel like he gave it to us in Philadelphia in 1787. When we feel like God gave us his Constitution and we have to obey it, Kreslins, it's almost like you're disobeying the Bible. So if I were you, Bucko, if I were you, Kreslins, I would just get off your high horse about not having a legislature. God wants us to have one, and you just have to submit. Yes, we know all the laws in the come out of the Congress are not good laws, but that's not the point. God wants us to have those laws because he wants us to have a legislature. Yes, we know that legislative body has created laws that steal from people, but that's not the point. God gave it to us. We experientially feel it. Therefore, you just have to submit to it, Kreslins. Cough up the cash. Seriously, folks. Sometimes that is what my brothers and sisters in Christ think.
Excuse me, Mark.
Yes.
May I,
you cannot weigh in on this.
I just want to say, didn't Jesus like get very mad and go into the temple and flip over tables because people were selling and trading in the temple?
Well, yes, he did. You know, and yeah. That's exactly why we have a Christian constitution.
That's right,
Christopher. Because we need Jesus flipping some tables in rebels like people on this show. Wouldn't and people that, on this network.
That would suggest that he was against all that.
That would suggest he was against people misusing the house
that's
of
right.
prayer if you actually read the Bible. But that's not how we interpret it today. We interpret Jesus flipping the tables as something we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go in there and flip the tables in the house of prayer called Washington, D.C., because after all, this is a government that was created by God. It's all jumbled together, Christopher. Don't try to sort it out. The mistake you're trying to make is to make sense of all this. These ideas that come out of the evangelical community. Mm-hmm. Don't try to make sense of them. Just go with it. Just go with it. That's what I'm trying to do here.
Okay.
So we live in an experiential 21st century evangelical Christianity whereby what we feel about historic events is actually what occurred.
Okay.
It doesn't matter if it occurred or not. So what we feel about Jesus flipping tables, we're now supposed to use that imagery and go to Washington and flip tables. I think that's what that means.
No, you might end up in jail.
Might.
Okay.
Thank you for your keen insight there.
You're very welcome.
But seriously, folks, you know, we've got to change our thinking on this stuff or we don't fix anything. I really am dead set against the legislature. I think they're a disaster. I'm open to other ideas. I have my own ideas of how laws can be written provide order and structure to a true republic, not a republic of 320 million people, but a true republic of a few tens of thousands of people. I have all sorts of ideas, but when you boil it down to a more local approach to governance, it ain't that hard to figure some of this out. But when you're set to build a nation that is governed by a small group of people in one area, you know, when you're set out to build that, well, you know, it becomes a lot more complicated to think about how to advance national interest. And in order to do so, you've got to have propaganda, you've got to have patriotism, you've got to have the ability to project force, you've got to have the ability to control the people. All the things that come out of Washington, D.C. right now, right? Let's do some examination of the success of this great experiment, we're told, occurred. Let's do some legitimate analysis and assessment of just how successful it's been. I would argue that this baker would certainly tell you, who got rolled by the IRS, it hasn't been that good of a success for him. What did he do? He made bread. And the wonderful jackboots from the IRS decided to seize $68,000 out of his bank account. Why? Because he sold bread and then deposited the cash. That's the kind of great experiment you want to live with? You're going to pledge allegiance to that? You're going to stand up and salute to that? Count me out. This is why I call it a bipartisan, corrupt, morally bankrupt, illegitimate government. We should not legitimize it with our votes. When I come back from a break, I'm going to play a video clip. You're going to only hear the audio. You won't be able to see it, but I'll post it up on my Facebook page. I've been waiting to get to this for a little while. It's talking about an event that's going to occur in this month or during this month, and it approaches the problem they're trying to address in this video in a very mature, non-threatening fashion. And I want to use it as an example of how we should converse about the idea of secession, withdrawing from the Union. I think you're going to be both impressed and, I hope, inspired by the approach these people have taken. Instead of this warmongering approach that if we even talk about leaving the Union, either as a Christian, I'm sinning, perhaps I'm a traitor, I'm committing treason, I may be fomenting rebellion. Let's listen to a group of people that have taken a slightly different approach to this, and I'll be curious to see what you think about it. We'll pick that up right after this break. Right now, I do want to remind you of something, though, something great that's going on. Let me ask you this. What would you do this summer with all the money you'd save if you didn't have a car payment for the next 5 months? Did you hear that? What would you do with all the money you would save if you didn't have a car payment for the next five F-I-V-E months? Well, hopefully you'd be buying first and foremost a Founding Brother or a Founding Father membership from the Veritas Radio Network, right? Of course that's what you do. Well, right now at Bulldog Kia in Athens, Georgia, take advantage of the Summer on Us sales event with zero payments for 5 months. Count them. Five, F-I-V-E. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 66 months on the one-of-a-kind Kia Soul or the high-tech Kia Forte or the newly redesigned Kia Optima. By the way, my good friends out there at Bulldog Kia, my two daughters own Kias. They have been very happy with them. Yours truly purchased them for them back when I had money. Bulldog Kia is where our founder, Mike Church, and his wife have purchased their vehicle since 2011. They're great friends, and they will treat you right, I can assure you. And for Mark Kreslin's show listeners anywhere in the continental United States, they will ship your new Kia to you for free. That means your new Kia is only a click or call away. For details, call them at 855-BULLDOG or go to bulldogkia.com. We'll see you at Bulldog Kia. We'll be right back after these short messages.